lighting was pretty good from Las Vegas. I gotta admit that. I had an orange-hued lamp, and the walls were coming at me like at a 45-degree angle type thing, and the reflection was great. Here in Page, Arizona, I don't know, maybe not so good. I got a bath towel over the lamp here. I just washed my hair, and there's no hot water. The hot water is lukewarm. I couldn't even get in it, so I had to kind of lean over from outside of the shower and wash my hair. Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender. Let me tell you what's going on here, because I didn't have time to tell you this morning from Las Vegas. That's right. I'm making two shows in one day. I got to do what I can here. It's Tuesday night, and it's 19 minutes after 11, and back east, that makes it 19 after 1 a.m., so I'm not used to being intelligent at this hour. Let's see what happens. I'm on a road trip with my two sons and my daughter-in-law. This is great. I thought about not even, you know, telling you about this because I want to get to the facts of the show, but really I share my life with you and this is a big deal to me, so I'm going to tell you about it here because I'm going to be doing a show from different places, and it's one reason why I'm a little hassled and harried because we are packing in as much as we can in 7 days. My son Luke married a woman in China. He was in China teaching English for 4 years, and he married a woman named Mushroom. That's right, Mushroom. Well, she's called that. It's her nickname because of her hair. If you look at the photo associated with this video, you're going to see Mushroom. That's Mushroom on the left. That's Luke next to her making the funny face. That's me. And then that's my oldest son, Gabe. My youngest son, Paul's not here. This photo was taken in San Diego yesterday, and we ended up in Las Vegas. Mushroom is great. She has never been to the United States. This is a whirlwind tour, and we're just showing her these places. We were like in and out of Las Vegas today. Oh my gosh, I got to tell you what happened today. I'm also going to tell you a little bit more about the two witnesses, but today was something else. We started this morning in Las Vegas. We were only there for one night. We didn't have a chance to really see anything. We just drove through the strip and that's it. Like I said, it's an 8-day whirlwind tour. Mushroom and Luke are spending the nights in their room. Gabe and I are sharing a room, so I kind of kick him out while I'm doing the show. This came about 6 months ago or maybe less when my son emailed me from China and said, "Dad, I want to show Mushroom the U.S. He used to live and work in Seattle, my son Luke did, so he said, "We're going to fly into Ohio, and then we're going to go to Seattle, spend a few days there. We're going to go to San Diego." Always wanted to see that place. In the meantime, I was going to be in California doing the meeting and meeting some of the saints there, including Sheryl Crow. So I worked it out, so I went down to San Diego and met Luke and Mushroom, my oldest. Are you following all this? There's going to be a pop quiz after this. My oldest son, Gabe, went down and joined them the day before I got there, and we are on the road, currently in Page, Arizona. Started the morning in Las Vegas, palm trees. It wasn't hot. It was a little coolish, but today we were heading to the Grand Canyon. Just again, it's a drive-by. This is a drive-by tour. Show you Las Vegas, right through Las Vegas. Now we're going to go to the Grand Canyon. Well, there's a little kink in that plan. There's a spiritual lesson here, folks. There's a spiritual lesson. We started to climb and climb and climb, and we were on Route 89 in Arizona, heading towards the North Rim. Well, we ran into snow. I guess we should have figured that it's, the 16th of November, 18th of November, the 17th. Today, 18th, when you're hearing this. And we ran into snow and a blizzard, and we couldn't even see the Grand Canyon. It's like, well, over there's the Grand Canyon. I mean, like, right over there, and you cannot see it. There were cars off the road, stuck in the snow. We're lucky we weren't. We tried to push one guy out. It was night. It's like the joke I tell people. When I was in San Francisco a few years back, they said, "Martin, did you see the Golden Gate Bridge?" I said, "No, I never saw it. But I did walk across it." "Yeah, you know, because of all the fog there in San Francisco." "Same today. Did you go to the Grand Canyon?" "Yep, yep, yep. Just didn't see it." So what a contrast. Started the morning, Las Vegas palm trees, and then we got in here late. We're in Page, Arizona. And tomorrow we leave early, so I want to make this show tonight, and we're heading to Moab and to Arches. And again, we'll drive under an arch. It could be like a drive-through at the Golden Arches, except we're going to be in the Arches of Moab, showing a native Chinese woman, my daughter-in-law, who I love. Fantastic girl. I'm so happy for Luke that he married this girl. She's so much fun. She's a pistol. Look at her. Look how cute she is in the picture. So we left off with our friends Zerubbabel and Joshua, who are the two witnesses rebuilding the temple. I had a lot of fun reading from the message in Zechariah 4, and I'm going to continue that. Of course, my favorite line was, well, one thing, God calls Zechariah a name here, according to the message. So, Big Mountain, who do you think you are? Next to Zerubbabel, you're nothing but a molehill. He's going to set the cornerstone in place. But he says it's not by might, in the Concordant version, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. And again, this is why the two witnesses go around in sackcloth. It's not according to armies. Where's the quote that I like? The God of the armies, small beginnings, we did that. I don't even see it here. That's because it's 11 o'clock at night. You're a molehill. God of the armies, sent to you. They'll change their tune. This is frustrating. I'm going to read the whole thing again because I'm frustrated. Seven lamps, seven sprouts. Can't you tell? No, sir. This is God's message. You can't force these things. There it is. You can't force these things. They come only by my spirit. Now, we're going to read the rest of this passage. Left off at the end of verse 10. So let's go to verse 11. And the two olive trees on either side of the lampstand, I ask, what's the meaning of them? These are all symbolic, just like John. And while you're at it, the two branches of the olive tree that feed oil to the lamps, what do they mean? He said, the Lord that is, you haven't figured that out. Again, this is the message. I said, no, sir. He said, these are the two who stand beside the master of the whole earth and supply golden lamp oil worldwide. This is a harbinger of the worldwide coverage. The two witnesses. I don't know. I had a gentleman writing to tell me who he thinks the two witnesses are. That they are indeed actually, well, I'm not even going to get into it because I think it's complicated. I will just tell you that we don't know who the two witnesses are. I don't believe they are supernatural beings. I think they are human beings who are raised up and given supernatural power, because that's actually, it's not far-fetched from what we are. We are supernatural. We are given supernatural power. We're ordinary people. And sometimes, I know you, like me, I feel weak and I'm like barely holding on to these shows sometimes, like tonight, I'm sorry, but it's supernatural power that causes something to come through of God. Well, with the two witnesses, it's going to be a magnificent power coming forth from God, a power to bless, that is to witness. They're two witnesses. Keep in mind that that's their role. Just like Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name, it's his role. He's Messiah. He's anointed to do a job. The two witnesses are that. They're witnesses. They're not named here. It's not Fred and Leroy. It's not Billy and Billy Bob. They're unnamed. So it's not important for us to know who they are, because it's not a celebrity we're considering here, but what they do. What they do. And what they do is witness. Now, here's your question. Martin, God could have these two witnesses witness for a day or 2 days. God could have the white horse rider come forth and conquer and kill everybody. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he could have destroyed his enemies. Instead, he dies for his enemies. God is long-suffering. He is patient. He is not a playground bully. He takes his time with his testimony because it is important for the inhabitants of the world to learn righteousness. And they do that through teaching with power. Goes back to Paul. We have a little less degree of this. Let your words be seasoned with salt. We give words of grace, but we season them with salt. The two witnesses testify for 42 months, and yet they season it with a little spicy power coming out of their mouth that's killing people. Let's read from the Unveiling of Jesus Christ by A.E. Nock here. God does not come into conflict with his creatures merely to manifest his power and their impotence. That would be so easy for him to do. And it's so easy for human beings who get into places of power to belittle their subjects. But God is never like this. This is why it's taken so long. Here's the answer to your question. Maybe this is the nugget I've been waiting for this whole show. Is that why has God elongated this era? Why has he done it? Because he's patient and he's long-suffering. He could have given it to Adam and Eve. He could have had two people on the planet, made it work out perfectly for them, and then they will spend eternity with him in bliss. We just assume that there are billions of people that have been born since then, but we don't stop to consider that God could have done it that way. He could have struck Satan down at the beginning if there was a threat to his two perfect people, Adam and Eve, and he could have given them everything. They could have had everything, and who would have complained? There would have been nobody to complain. God has two worshipers named Adam and Eve, and he has an enemy, Satan, but he vanquishes that enemy at the first hint of threat, and he preserves his two perfect people. Here he has two witnesses. They're a testimony. But in the meantime, in between Adam and Eve and these two witnesses, we have the billions and billions of people who have been born. We have 6,000 years of human history that has transpired. And the reason is that God is long-suffering, and he wants everyone to learn lessons. Did you notice this? I don't mean to be sexist here, but women generally like to go shopping, except they don't like to go shopping. They like to go shopping. You have to add about 10 O's to that word, shopping. It's an experience, you see. They don't just go to buy things. That God just doesn't want to produce two people or even 200,000 people or even 2 trillion people, 200 trillion people to just worship him. He wants them to worship him with lots of O's, lots of R's, and a sh, lots of the sh at the end of the worship. And the only way this can happen is through a protracted period of suffering and of appreciating the difference between good and evil. We could have been whisked to Page, Arizona from Las Vegas, Nevada, but we weren't. We had to go through a trial, and it was a trial because the gas was getting low. It was night. We got to the north rim of the Grand Canyon, and it said, lodge closed. Closed. There weren't any warnings at all that the lodge was going to be closed. So we get there. It's getting dark. Our tank's at a half tank. We're going to have to drive 22 miles back. By the way, we were going 30 miles an hour on this road that was snow-packed. And we started in the palm trees. It's a microcosm of the long experience of evil. And God doesn't shut it down. He doesn't shut it down. When you think it should be shut down, I think it should be shut down. I have a friend that says, how much more does God need? How much more? It's getting ridiculous, or so it seems to him and to me sometimes. But maybe another person needs to come to the body of Christ. Maybe you need one more experience to top off your tank of eternal appreciation of God. I guarantee you that you do. Because if you didn't, then he would have ended this. He would have ended it 6,000 years ago with two worshipers. He would have kept it at two. But every single human being, as I've told you, has been destined to worship God for eternity. And the only way they can do it, that is by this experience of evil. And so the two witnesses do not testify for any less than 1,260 days. That is their destiny. God is long-suffering. He's not a playground bully. He doesn't do this just to exercise his power. It's not about his power. I'm going to show you that I'm God and you're just a creature. You would think that he's doing that to you. Do you get the message? I'm God, you're a creature. Yeah, I got that. But he's not doing it to puff himself up and to make you feel like crap. He's doing it for your sake. for your sake. He's not flexing any muscles. I mean, he's got the biggest muscles of the universe. He's God, but he's also not a human being. He doesn't do what we would do. He's not out flexing his muscles to make himself feel good. He doesn't need to feel good. He doesn't have an inferiority complex. He's not codependent. He's not jealous. He's God. He's perfect. Every single thing that happens is for us, and it's for the last person to come into the body of Christ, and maybe it's going to happen tomorrow. I hope it does. You know, I hope I'm the guy that brings them in. But if any of you want to give the word to the last member of the body of Christ that's going to seal this thing up and finish it, I'm all for it. You can do that. God is for us, not against us, and not only us, but the entire world. And everyone will have a topped-off tank. Everyone will experience exactly every detail that they need to experience. There won't be one less and one more than what everyone needs. This is in accord with the counsel, the foreknowledge, and the future glory of us and of God.